Okay, over this way. Parents of first through fifth graders, he would like to have you sign your children up. They are going to do, what's the song called? Every Move I Make. And he would like to talk to the parents and have you sign up for that to have their participation next week. So I didn't want to forget that. So if you will see him after the service. All right. Well, welcome to Fellowship Community Church. And we continue our series, Marks of a Healthy Church. We started this series with faithfully preaching the Word of God. And then we moved to sharing the gospel of Christ. And now this week's message is called Making Disciples. Because the mark of a healthy church is in the content of the church. We are making disciples. So if you will, turn to the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And let me read this to you. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, this is Jesus speaking, and the first thing that he is doing is he has just clarified that all authority has been given to him, not only on earth, but in heaven. So the question on your outline, number one, is who has the power to give Jesus authority in heaven and on earth? Who has that power? God. God, the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, the one true God, is the only person that can give that authority away. He has the power to give that authority. And what you see here is that the time of Christ in flesh has passed. And God has lifted him up and given him sovereign authority here on earth and in heaven. And that continues today. Christ has authority over all. So Jesus gives a command with that authority. He says, go. And since he has all the authority, he can say that. Go and make disciples of all the nations. So disciples means follower or learner. There were many disciples. John the Baptist had disciples. A lot of people had disciples, but Christ's followers were important to us. Were important to the gospel being spread. Of all the things that Christ could share with all this authority that he has, he chooses to share with his followers the command to make more followers. Now he adds baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And baptism is synonymous with salvation. So as you go and as you make new followers, you are to baptize them. You are to lead them to salvation with the gospel of Christ. Now you must remember that in the act of making disciples, you're not done with salvation. You're not done with that act of baptism. You must remember that you must have to come alongside those people with the Word of God, and you must teach them. You must remember how significant the Word of God is to not only the discipler, but to the one being discipled. Question number three. What specifically is the disciple to teach the one being discipled? What specifically is the disciple to teach the one being discipled? Well, you find it in verse 20. They are to teach them to observe or obey all that Christ commanded. All that Christ commanded. Question number four says, where will you find all that Christ commanded? Where do we find that? In His Word, in the Bible. That's the only place that you're going to find it. If you want to hear from Jesus, it's right here. If you want to hear from the voice of God, it's right here. If you want to see what God says about a specific thing or a direction that you are to take, it's here. God's Word, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is of Christ. And I say this often, that the Old Testament is a puzzle piece. The verses in the Old Testament, the prophets never knew the whole picture. Some prophets knew where He was going to be born. Some prophets knew how He was going to die. Some prophets knew a phrase that He was going to say. But not until the New Testament was that puzzle put together and you saw it, the Messiah, in Jesus. So, we are to obey all that God commanded, and we find that in the Word of God. The whole idea of making disciples is to duplicate what Christ left for the apostles to pass on. And to pass on that message, to pass on the message of Jesus Christ, is to truly love someone. And you see that love that came from Christ. He passed it on to the apostles, and that love continues to the point where you have a room full of people in Mechanicsville, Virginia, that love Jesus Christ because of the message that's been passed on. Amen? So question number 5. Who are we to imitate as we grow in Christ? So look at 1 Corinthians there. I think it's printed. 1 Corinthians 4, 15 and 16. Paul said this to the Corinthians. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. Now Paul, as a true disciple of Christ, is making a point here. And the point here is that those that continue to disciple, those that he continues to disciple through his writings, he is acknowledging that many people will raise you up in Christ through your livelihood. And it's like parents. You know, you're the parents. But there are many people that help you grow up. And he's making that point there. He acknowledges that there are many people that will have taught them about Christ in their life. For there are many. It says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, which is actually written countless tutors, and the number 10,000 is written like our infinity. It's countless. That's the highest number that you could go. He makes the point that you only have one Father in Christ. And he says that when he says, I have begotten you through the gospel. So you might have countless tutors that have instructed you in Christ, but he is saying he is the spiritual father. And because he's your spiritual father, no one cared more for you than he does. And you know what? We see that. We see that in his message. And so because no one else cared more for them than him, he says this, I urge you, imitate me. And we see that played out with moms and dads. Moms and dads teach their children, and even though many people help them with their children along the way, there is often a time when a dad will say, I don't care what they told you, I'm your father. Or a mom will say, I don't care what they said, I'm your mother. You'll have many people that'll help you along the way, but those who care about you most, they want you to listen and imitate them. And you see that in your spiritual fathers and your spiritual mothers. Okay? So that's the message that he's saying there. Number 6, who is Paul imitating when he asked the people to imitate him? And you find that in 1 Corinthians 11:1. It says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Just as I imitate Christ. That's what it's all about. And I want you to know that we even hear in this world, we even hear that imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And so Paul is saying, I'm imitating my Lord and Savior. Imitate me. So what does the marks of a healthy church, what are you supposed to do with victories when you start to accomplish these things? When you start to make disciples, what are you supposed to do with these victories? Number 7, what happens as you grow from being discipled? Well, here's the answer. Christ receives the glory, and you receive the peace. What happens with these victories? What happens when you make disciples? And what happens as you grow and are being discipled? Christ receives the glory, and you receive the peace. Look at 2 Peter 3:18 on your outline. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen? Philippians 4:9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. God's peace comes with you in obedience. Number 8, in the church, who must be committed to making disciples? Who must be committed to making disciples?
Everyone.
So you know where it starts? Right here. The pastor. Who must be committed to making disciples? The pastor and the congregation. The role of a disciple in a healthy church begins with the pastor faithfully teaching and preaching the Word of God, the truth. So now you have my commitment to teach the Word of God, but you have to be committed to receiving the truth. Now, that may be the best description of discipleship. A committed teacher and a committed learner. That's discipleship. The challenge for a pastor today is to find a group willing to receive the truth. Because after all, the truth is going to hurt our flesh. The truth is going to rub us wrong. When the world is telling us that there are so many other things that feel good, there are so many other things that we could focus our attention on. But yet, there's this message that has come from Christ to the apostles faithfully, generation upon generation. So will you be a faithful listener? Will you be a faithful learner? Number 9, true discipleship is about obedience. True discipleship is about obedience. See, our Lord calls us to be a part from so many things that are offered in this world. They're right there. You're an American. You have a right to so many things. But you know what your right is as a Christian? You have one right as a Christian. That's to be pleasing to God. One right as a Christian. That you might be pleasing to God. But the world will scream in your ear, you have a right to do all this. You have freedom to do all this. No, you are set free in Christ to be obedient. We must learn, but it's not just about learning. We must respond in obedience. Turn to Matthew 10, 24 through 25. And let me read these two verses to you. Matthew 10, 24 and 25. And listen to who this is directed to. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, How much more will they call those of his household? All right. As a believer, as a follower of Christ, as a disciple of Christ, you have committed to grow spiritually. That's part of the commitment. It's not just a statement. You have committed to grow spiritually. You have stated this to Christ. You are the learner, and he is the master. You have openly recognized him. You have said to Christ, you are the teacher, and I am the student. You are the teacher, and I am here to learn. Now, that's total dedication, and that's total commitment. Discipleship is choosing to submit to him. It's choosing to submit to his instructions. Where do you find his instructions? In his word. It's choosing to submit to his commands. Where do you find his commands? In his word. It's choosing to submit to his teachings. Where do you find his teachings? In his word. Number 10. What are you ultimately learning as a disciple of Christ? The answer is in Luke 6:40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. One day you will be there. One day in perfection you will be like Christ. Until that time you are learning to be like Christ. That's the goal. It's imitation. Many of you have heard of Florence Nightingale. Florence Nightingale really was a pioneer in nursing. Florence Nightingale, at age 30, wrote this in her diary. I am 30 years of age, the age at which Christ began his mission. Now, no more childish things, no more vain things. Later in her life, they asked her, what is the secret to your life? She said this, quote, I can give only one explanation, and that is this. I have kept nothing back from God. I have kept nothing back from God. You know, as we grow, we have to come to a point when we say, you are the master, and I am the student, and I'm giving you everything I got. I am fully devoted to your instructions. A true disciple of Christ is growing and learning to hold nothing back from Christ. So there in Matthew 10, 24 through 42, I want you to see the words from Christ to a disciple. And I'm going to read those to you. Matthew 24 through 42. And I want you to listen carefully, because this is a message to the follower of Christ. Truths, warnings. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and whatever you hear whispered in your ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Now we've already covered verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. As a disciple, you have stated that you're a learner and that he's the master. You have put it in the right position. You have said, Christ, you're the teacher, and I am the learner. And if you want to be more like the master, then guess what? The master is telling you that if you want to be more like the master, you will be treated more like the master. That's what the message is here. That's what the warning is. Remember, Jesus is always straight and to the point. And you see that in verse 25. In verse 25, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, devil, how much more will they call those of his household? He is telling you like it is. He is giving you a truthful warning. It's a message to you. That as a follower of Christ, know this, it is sufficient, it's understandable to be treated like Christ. In Matthew 9:34, it says this, he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. Now who said this? This was the religious leaders speaking. And they were saying this of Christ, that he works for the devil. So here's the point I want you to see. Think of what the religious leaders saw in Christ. All right, they saw him do marvelous work. They saw him perform miraculous things in his lifetime. They saw him not as the Son of the living God. They only saw him as the devil. Blind. They never saw the things of Christ. They could only see the devil. And the point is if they call him the devil, then they will feel the same way about his followers. But you know that now. And you know that now because God's word tells you so. That's the truth. That's what it means to understand the truth going in and following Jesus Christ. They will say that about me, and they will say that about you. Then it goes on in verse 27. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what I whisper in your ear, preach on the housetops. Now, Christ is the master, and you are the follower, and Christ is the teacher. So, without the teacher, you would know nothing. If Christ has all the truth, and he's the teacher, then without Christ, you know nothing. Christ is saying, what I whisper to you, proclaim. Proclaim it as truth. Because he's the master. He's the teacher. He's the one with the truth. So you have no message other than what Christ gives you. You have no truth other than what Christ has told you. It is the teaching of his word that allows you to grow and be like him. His word, his voice is given to you here in church. His word, his voice is given to you in the quiet places, in solitude, in the darkness, in the privacy of your own home, in the privacy of your own prayer time. It's not proclaimed to all in the world, is it? No, we gather in small groups. It is given to you through the reading of his word. It's given to you through the teaching of his word. It is given to you through spiritual discernment when it is whispered in your ear. And you know, you understand that. Some of you have been in church for a lot of years. And you've heard the same verses over and over and over. And then 1 year, 5, 10, 15 years later, you go, oh, wow, now I get that. Spiritual discernment. God allows you to see certain things in his time. All of this truth is to be shared as truth from the housetops. Now, why this example? Why does he say what is whispered in your ear, proclaimed from the rooftops? Well, it's because it comes from an application in old biblical times. It was a custom for a rabbi, a Jewish custom for a rabbi, that as he was training a student, they would stand up on the roof of a house so that he could practice speaking to the public. And the rabbi would sit close and he would whisper in his ear. And the student was to proclaim what he whispered in his ear as truth to the people as he learned. That's the application that we see here. And remember, who's the teacher? Christ. And who's the student? You. And what he whispers in your ear, you are to proclaim as truth. What the Lord has made known to us, we are to make known to others. Because we are the learner. So Christ says here, here's the truth. A healthy church must teach so that those through obedience are making an informed decision. Because you have to know this in order to make a valid, a real decision for Christ. You know, you can't paint this beautiful picture of, oh, if you just became a follower of Jesus Christ, everything would be great. Did you not read the part that said that they're going to call you the devil? You have to share the truth. Have you ever met someone that their whole family doesn't believe in Christ and they're thinking, gosh, I hear Christ calling to me. But if I accept Christ, my family's going to hate me. But you know what? If you teach them the whole truth of making a disciple, the cost of being a disciple, they begin to understand, yeah, I already know that. And they begin to measure, is it worth following the Son of the living God or being afraid of my family? You choose. You decide. So that when someone says to you, do you know what you're doing? I mean, do you know what kind of decision you're making? When you have heard the truth, you can say, yes, I do. I know what Jesus Christ is asking. I know that Jesus is the teacher, and I'm willing to listen and learn. Amen? as a disciple of Christ. You have taken the role under the teacher, under the master. You have taken the role, your choice. So let him teach you. Let him teach you the truth. Follow through these verses as I kind of go through the bullet points of what he's teaching you. Don't fear the one that can destroy the body. Fear the one that can destroy both soul and body. He's teaching you. You are more valuable than many sparrows. He's teaching you. Confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't deny him before men. Christ did not come to bring peace. Christ came. And because he came, you believed. But some will turn against you because they don't believe. And there will be division. And your enemies may be in your own household. He's teaching you. Love Christ more than your parents and family. Why? Because he's worthy. Surrender your life to Christ. Take up your cross and follow him. Lose your life to Christ. If you are received by someone, they would have received Christ. If your message of Christ is received by someone, they would have received Christ. Those that receive a prophet, the one with the message from God, shall be rewarded. Those that receive a righteous man shall be rewarded because it is the same as welcoming Christ. And then finally, look at verse 42. Verse 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. If you treat the most insignificant, unimportant believer, the little ones, if you treat that unnoticed, longtime follower with love and respect, if you serve or help them in the simplest way, it will not go unnoticed or unrewarded by God. Amen? Remember, the more you become like Christ, the more they will treat you like they treated him. Because you have chosen to follow him. A real disciple of Christ is a growing Christian. I want to read to you from the Apostle Peter at the end of his life. Peter wrote this, to guide disciples, to guide followers, as they faced a world full of subtle spiritual deception. What you have to realize is this is a warning from Peter, a warning that is timely for us today. So if you will, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. 2 Peter 1:11. It says this. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Christ Jesus, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's followers. He's speaking to followers, disciples. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to all of us the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then he gives this beautiful list of what the growing faith looks like. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed of his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The reason why you will never stumble is because an obedient believer who is devoted to growing and following in obedience does not stumble. Listen again. An obedient believer who is devoted to growing and following in obedience does not stumble into doubt, does not stumble into despair, does not stumble into fear, does not stumble into questioning their faith. Rather, the follower who is growing in obedience enjoys the peace and assurance of his faith. Amen? So as a faithful church, we will be great listeners because our master is teaching. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, boy, can you teach. Straight from your word, Father, it has been there for thousands of years. Father, you are patient enough to give it to us right now in our life. And Father, we ask that you would allow us to hear the truth through the Holy Spirit, through discernment. Father, that we would see your call. That we would hear and receive those who teach us in your name. Who come alongside us with your word. Who hold us accountable with your word. And Father, because of obedience, we grow. And our foundation is more sure. And we hear those false things, and we turn away. And we see things that could make us afraid, but we stand strong. Because our faith is strong in you. Father, thank you for being our teacher. May we learn and be more like you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.